So over the last few weeks, we've been considering this question: what is it that we are living for? Or perhaps to put it another way, what's the best investment that we can make in life? There are some investments that people make in life that seem absolutely crazy and insane. Take, for example, Joe, or Crazy Joe, as his friends and his neighbors would call him. So Joe, he had a very successful job. He had a nice house, nice car. And yet, he made this decision to sell all of this and go and buy a farm. Now, Joe didn't have the first idea about farming. But to purchase this farm at auction, he was going to need to sell his house, sell his car, all his savings, his pension. His friends, his neighbors thought this was some crazy midlife crisis that he was going through. Was Joe crazy? Perhaps. Or maybe he saw something that others failed to see. You see, Joe was a metal detector enthusiast. And going through this field of a farm that was up for auction, he discovered a hoard of Saxon gold that was worth millions. And so, hiding that treasure back in that field, he went out and joyfully sold everything that he had to purchase this farm. Was Joe crazy? Not at all. He'd seen something that others had failed to see. Now, Joe's a purely fictional character, but Jim Elliot wasn't. Jim Elliot was an incredibly bright, gifted young man. There were any number of careers that he could have chosen. He was happily married, had a young child. Basically, in the world's eyes, he had everything that you need for a happy and a successful life. But instead of pursuing that American dream, he went out as a missionary to Ecuador to reach some of the unreached people groups. And there at the age of 28, he was martyred. Killed for his faith as he worked for Jesus Christ. Was Jim Elliot crazy? Was he a fool? Not at all. But he saw something that the world fails to see. Famously, he wrote this in his journal: "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." And Jim Elliot is just one among countless others who have seen that living for Christ is worth it. That is more valuable even than life itself. Over these last few weeks, we've seen that we are called to follow the way of Christ. That yes, we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. But we are saved for this purpose of then following Jesus Christ. That we're not to be those who sit on the fence, but we're to be moving forward in maturity, moving forward in discipleship. And we've been looking at this as we've been going through our series in Proverbs. That in Proverbs, God calls us to the way of wisdom. He calls us to the beautiful life. And that way of wisdom is seen in the way of Christ. In Colossians, we read that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in Christ. The way of wisdom is the way of Christ. And yes, this way of wisdom, this way of Christ, often looks foolish. It seems counterintuitive. And the beautiful life doesn't always look attractive in the here and now. And yet, if we take God's word seriously, what we discover is that there is nothing more beautiful, nothing more precious, nothing more rewarding than following the way of Christ. And my prayer is that we today, as we look through these verses, would see that truth more deeply in our lives. We're going to consider this morning the worth of wisdom, the wonder of wisdom, and the way of wisdom. So do have your Bibles opened or your Bibles turned on, and open at Proverbs chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. The worth of wisdom. Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold her fast will be blessed. Now, we're constantly told to prepare for the future in life. When we're at school, we're told prepare for your future career by working hard now, get those good exam results. When we're working, we're told prepare for your retirement and make sure you save as much as you can. When you get to retirement, we're told through certain adverts that come on at certain times of the day, see what sort of programs I watch, prepare for your funeral. Make sure you're saving up now. Right? We're taught always prepare, prepare, prepare. And it's good, it's wise to prepare. The problem with those preparations is they're too short-sighted. They're based on what we can really see, what we can perceive to be ahead of us. Our passage here begins, verse 13, blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding. And this is a long-term view. So some translations may translate this as happy. Happy are those who find wisdom. The problem with the word happy is it's often tied to immediate circumstances. So it might say, I'm feeling happy today because it stopped raining and the kids have been well-behaved on the way to church. And that's all good and fine, but when it's continuing to rain, my kids are doing my nutting, which happens at times, as much my fault as it is theirs, like, then what? Happiness is often tied to our immediate circumstances. But to be blessed means more than present happiness. Jesus says in his Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verse 11, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. So persecution, that's not how we would normally associate happiness. It's not a happy experience. And yet we are told by Jesus that we are blessed. Blessed are you when you are persecuted. Why? Because great is your reward in heaven. And so when the Bible speaks about being blessed, it is referring to more than just our present circumstances. To be blessed is to be on the best path. To be on the right track. Now the full benefits of being on that track, you may not see until you're further down the line. In fact, we have no idea of what lies ahead, of the glories that are there. And there's this sense of, I can't really explain to you, there are no words that I can give that can talk about the glories of what lie ahead. It's indescribable. All I can say is, you're blessed. If only you knew what was there. This path that you are on, you are blessed. And we are told that such a blessing belongs to those who find wisdom. Blessed are those who find wisdom. As we've seen through Proverbs, that comes as wisdom cries out. And then as we cry out to wisdom, and we cry out and we find wisdom, blessed are those who find wisdom. And wisdom, this way of Christ. Now, blessed are we when we are following the way of Christ. So Jesus said, blessed are you when you were persecuted, when you were insulted for my name's sake. And why are we blessed? Verse 14. To see wisdom, this way of wisdom, is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. It's an investment. It's a future investment. And really, there's nothing that you can compare it with. It's better returns than gold. We'll read in verse 15. It's just incomparable. What lies ahead is so glorious, we can't describe it. All we can say is, you're blessed. The worth of following Christ is beyond our comprehension. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment life in the Garden of Eden. Because a lot of imagery here in these verses in Proverbs is Eden imagery. So Eden is this place, we're told, where there's an abundance of gold, of precious stones. And there in Eden, in this place of abundance, God plants this garden. And he causes to grow trees that are pleasing to the eye, that are good for food. In this garden, you have no fear of the wild animals. There's no sweat from the midday sun. Instead, you can rest under the shade of the tree. You work in the cool by the river. No sense of competition. Companionship. Loving intimacy. And as you stand there now in the midst of Eden, as you look at all this bounty of Eden before you, what is the most desirable thing? Is it the wealth? The gold, the jewels? The safety, the security? The companionship? And we can spend our lives pursuing the bounty of Eden and yet miss out on its blessing. And all around us, the world pursues the bounty of Eden. We lie, we cheat, we fight, we kill to get hold of, to take hold and take to ourselves these things. Now, whether that is wealth, whether that is safety, security, companionship, what is that thing? That thing that came to mind that will bring you happiness. What is that thing that you have been told will bring you contentment and fulfillment, will make your life complete? What's the bounty of Eden that you desire? And just hold that thing in your mind for a brief second. Because we are told that that thing, now the bounty of Eden, it just cannot be compared to the blessing of Eden. That blessing in Eden was access to the tree of life. And here in Proverbs verse 18, wisdom is likened to that tree. And we're told the bounty cannot compare to the blessing. Verse 15, nothing you desire can compare with her, with wisdom. Whatever it is that we desire, whatever that thing is, just cannot compare to God's way of wisdom. Quote C.S. Lewis, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. And as the world scrambles and fights to reclaim the bounty of Eden, God freely offers the blessing of Eden. In verse 18, see wisdom. God's way of wisdom is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold her fast will be blessed. That blessing of Eden, that blessing of the way of wisdom, the way of Christ, is life. The life that God gives, the life that God intends, life in Christ. And yes, now at this moment, it is a life that is lived out in a fallen and hostile world. It is not the easy life. And yet if we take God's word seriously, we are told that it is the best, it is the blessed life. That is the privilege that we have in Christ. And that is what God is working in us as we follow Christ. This is his work of new creation. Giving of new life. Which takes us on to the following verses. Verse 19, we consider the wonder of wisdom. Proverbs 3:19, by wisdom the Lord lays the earth's foundations. By understanding he set the heavens in place. 20, by his knowledge the watery depths were divided, and the clouds let drop their dew. By wisdom we're told God had formed the earth. Now in the beginning God creates the heavens and the earth. He creates it out of nothing. It's not that there were some elements that were there that he just played about with. God is there in the beginning. And he creates the universe out of nothing. No pre-existent materials. God creates. And then as the Genesis account goes on, we see God not only as creator but also as a craftsman. Shaping and forming that which he has brought into being. So Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2, now the earth was formless and empty. And darkness was over the surface of the deep. Have you ever been in a storm or caught in a storm in or by the sea? We used to live in St. Andrews on the coast of Scotland. And it was amazing to see when a storm whipped up there. See this black, turbulent sea thrashing itself against the pier. Spray thrown up in the air, caught by the torrents of the wind, just blowing it round and round. As you're buffeted by the wind, and as you turn to face the wind, knocks the breath out of you. It's nature's temper tantrum. It's crazy, it's immense, all this power that cannot be controlled. That's kind of the image that we get of creation at the beginning. And yet into this primordial chaos, God speaks and he brings order. And he does so, we're told here in Proverbs, by means of wisdom. And by wisdom, God brings order and beauty and goodness out of chaos. That order and beauty and goodness that we saw at the beginning of our service. And by that same wisdom, God has purposed to do in our lives what he did at the creation. To bring order and beauty and goodness out of chaos. So verse 21, my son, do not let wisdom and understanding out of your sight. Preserve judgment and discretion. They will be life for you, an ornament to grace your neck. Then you will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Have no fear of sudden disaster or the ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be at your side and will keep your foot from being snared. And that imagery we have here of being safe, of lying down without fear, of having sweet sleep, it stands in stark contrast to a way of life that rejects God's wisdom and God's way. Now, I know some time back you were looking at the book of Deuteronomy, and you may recall when you were doing that in Deuteronomy, just before the people enter into God's promised land, God places before them two paths. These are two ways that you can live. There is the way of blessing, or there's the way of curse. And in Deuteronomy, that curse is described as a life that descends back into chaos. So Deuteronomy 28 verse 66, you will live in constant suspense, filled with dread both night and day, never sure of your life. In the morning you will say, if only it were evening, and in the evening, if only it were morning, because of the terror that will fill your hearts and the sights that your eyes will see. That's the cursed path that is described in Deuteronomy. And yet here we see in Proverbs the wonder of wisdom is that it will keep us from such a wretched existence. But the way of wisdom is a way of blessing and not of curse. But let's be clear on this, especially as we seek to apply it to ourselves. These verses here do not mean that as a Christian, you will always be guaranteed a good night's sleep. These verses do not mean that as a disciple of Jesus Christ, that you will be able to just float through life without any trouble or hardship. And we know that because the Apostle Paul was one who dedicated his life, who lived for Christ in such an impassioned way that we often stand in awe and wonder at. And this is what he said his life was like. 2 Corinthians 11. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked, and besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. And earlier in that letter, he speaks of the pressures being so much on him that he even despaired of life itself. So we shouldn't be too quick to apply these verses in Proverbs and say it means that as a Christian, you can float through life without any troubles at all. So what are these verses saying then? Well, they poetically portray God's promise, and using a language and imagery that is familiar with the original hearers, saying that the way of wisdom is not the cursed way. It is the way of blessing. And so, for us, we can understand it as this, that following the way of wisdom, the way of Christ, is to walk in this path of no condemnation. Following the way of wisdom, following the way of Christ, doesn't mean that we will be immune from trials. It doesn't mean it will be an easy path. Trials will come, but they are not for our undoing. But rather, in Christ, that same wisdom that brought order and beauty and goodness to the creation is at work within our hearts. So if we are in Christ, if we are following Christ, the trials that we face are not a sign of God's abandonment. Verse 26, for the Lord will be at your side. If we are in Christ, if we are following the way of Christ, the trials that we face are not a sign of God's abandonment, they are a sign of God's commitment. A sign of God's commitment to His purposes, to bring to completion that which He has begun. That work of bringing order and beauty and goodness. This is the wonder of wisdom. That God is taking the chaos, the brokenness of our lives, and conforming us to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. We are living this new life. The life of a new humanity that is formed in Christ to display the wonder, the glory, the power of God. Now, practically, what does that look like? Well, that's what we see in, or at least a glimpse of, in the verses that follow. The way of wisdom. Picking up at verse 21. Sorry, 27. Do not withhold good from those whom it is due when it is in your power to act. And do not say to your neighbor, come back tomorrow and I'll give it to you, when you already have it with you. Do not plot harm against your neighbor who lives trustfully near you. And do not accuse anyone for no reason when they have done you no harm. Do not envy the violent or choose any of their ways. For the Lord detests the perverse, but takes the upright into His confidence. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but He blesses the home of the righteous. He mocks proud mockers, but shows favor to the humble and oppressed. The wise inherit honor, but fools get only shame. The way of wisdom, the way of Christ, is a beautiful life. That's what we're called to. Galatians 6:10 echoes these words here as Paul says, as we have an opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to the family of believers. And that's why it's a good thing for us today to be collecting for the food bank. The Bible teaches we are not saved by our good works, but we are saved to do good works. And that way of Christ is the beautiful life, living the way that God intended. Not seeking to hoard the bounty of Eden. That we do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Not looking to our own interests, but to the interests of others, because that is the way of Christ. Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something that was to be used to His own advantage, but humbled Himself, even to death on a cross. And that's the beautiful way. That's the life that God has called us to. But it's a way that will often look weak and foolish to the world. And so we are told in verse 31, don't envy the violent or choose any of their ways. We might be tempted to go that way, because in this life now we see wicked people prosper. People lie and they cheat and they get away with it and they get what they want. They amass the bounty of Eden for themselves through violence, through force, through manipulation. And we could look at that and we could envy that and we could say, oh, if only I could get those things. But we are warned here not to take that path, because that is a cursed path. That any of the gains that are given are only short-lived. And they're empty. And their result, verse 35, is a lasting shame. To choose that way is to descend back into chaos. So don't envy the violent. Don't choose their ways. Because it's the way of wisdom, the way of Christ, which brings order and beauty and goodness out of chaos. The restoration of God's image within His people. That's why it's the beautiful life. That's why it's the good life. Jim Elliot, gifted young man. He had that opportunity to pursue success and happiness as the world defines it. And yet, he saw the indescribable worth of living for Christ, even though it cost him his life. Nothing that we desire can compare with the way of wisdom. Can compare with the way of Christ, we are told here in verse 15. Now, and that remains true whether we see it or not. If we take God's word seriously, that is true. Whether we see it or not. But when we do see it, and even if we just glimpse it, it changes everything. Because then the bounty of Eden no longer becomes important to us. That we can find contentment whatever the circumstances. Whether we are living with plenty or whether we're living in want. Because we're no longer living for the bounty of Eden. We are living in the blessing of Eden. Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's the worth, the wonder, and the way of wisdom. Now let's pray that we would even just glimpse, but that we would see that truth and live in the light of it. Let's pray together.